Happy Friday, y'all. Hey, it's my understanding that we have some people visiting Hope College this morning. If you are visiting, we want to welcome you, and we want to invite you this morning to worship with us. We know you've got a lot going on in your head, and we want to invite you to take these next minutes to be present and to worship with us this morning. I want to introduce to you now a friend of mine, Jordan. You might know Jordan. That's right. You might know Jordan from some of the ways that she's led Sacred Dance for us, and I know that she and Sacred Dance this year have blown my mind just in the ways that she and the dancers have led us in worship through dance, in prayer, and in scripture, and in song. So, Jordan, we're eager to hear what you have to say to us this morning.
Hi, everyone. For 4 years now, this chapel and worshiping with all of you has been one of my favorite things, so this is pretty cool. And before I start, I want to invite you all, if you would like, to come to the worship service with Sacred Dance tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. in Western Sem Chapel, right over there. We'd love to see you all there. Well, not all of you, you won't all fit, but if you're free. Now, any of you who know me, that I could be up here talking for days, so I'm just going to share a little part of my story. I think it's a part that will resonate with many of you, and if it doesn't, well, just be polite and listen anyway. For as long as I can remember, I've been good at being good at things, being a good student, friend, employee, always being responsible, hardworking, reliable, organized. Everyone has been telling me for years how smart, responsible, and gifted I am. You're so kind and caring and welcoming. You're the only one I can trust this with. You're so mature for your age. You're handling this so well. You're such a great student. You're the best person for this job. You're going to do amazing things with your life. And when people told me I was a perfectionist or an overachiever, I always said, no, I'm not. I just know how to do things right. Or, I'm just doing my best. But it was a lie. I didn't know it, but it was. It wasn't about doing excellent work or being the best I could be in a situation. It was that I needed people to see me as those things. I needed them to define me. I find my identity in people thinking of me as successful and hardworking and the best. How did my entire world start revolving around my accomplishments and gold stars and what other people think of me? Society seems a nice culprit, but what does that even mean? Is it all society's fault that my inability to separate who I am from how good I am at things? Maybe it is. There is definitely a widespread attitude that who we are is directly related to our performance, our success. We hate failure. We know it's inevitable and that it teaches us valuable lessons, but we hate it. Why? Maybe it's because we believe that our failures make us a failure. Over the past few years, God has started to show me how dangerous this thinking is. He showed me that I was also basing my identity and my achievement when it came to my relationship with him. It was, in this case, I wasn't doing a very good job. And there were many years where I drifted away from God because I felt like I was failing him. It was an endless cycle. I knew I wasn't giving God enough of myself. I'm horrible at keeping up with a consistent quiet time. I would decide that I was going to make a change and really commit and do it for real this time. And it would be awesome for like a week. And then something would come up. I would stay up late and sleep in instead of getting up for my devotions. I would prioritize time with a friend or time that I thought I needed to just relax and watch TV. And then I would be overcome by guilt and shame at the thought that the God of the universe wanted to spend time with me, and I thought all of my busyness was too important for me to spare him even a moment. This shame drove me even further away from him. I saw how fully incapable I was of being a good Christian. I was living the life of a God-committed person without having any idea how to actually get where I wanted to be in my relationship with him. This went on for years, many years. Good weeks followed by months of nothingness, those mountaintop experiences followed by long days of feeling completely unqualified to be a follower of Jesus. But slowly, God started teaching me, that is the whole point. We are all completely unqualified in every way. Not only does our sin separate us from him, but we are not even capable of living our lives for him, even when we love him and have seen his mercy and grace and faithfulness in our lives. I want to emphasize this. I was saved. I was a Christian. I loved Jesus. I wanted him to be first in my life. I was going on missions trips and sharing my faith and praying with people and going to church and chapel and the gathering. And I certainly still saw God working in my life. I saw it all the time. But I wasn't letting him come as close as he is willing to come. Sometimes I wonder what kind of person I would be if I had actually allowed God to work in me all these years. What if I had actually lived out the Bible? What if I actually let him rule in every area of my life? What would that look like? But I can't go backwards, so the only questions that matter now are the questions that cause me to let him work in me now. All those years, I was unconsciously saying, I can do this, God. Just give me one more year, one more month. I'll get this figured out. I just need to get this whole God is my priority thing down, and we'll be fine. One of the ways that God revealed this messed up thinking to me was through my junior and senior years here at Hope. I was overcommitted, completely exhausted, and consistently behind. Last semester was the first time in my entire life that I just deliberately didn't do assignments or turned them in late or did them poorly. My room is always a mess. I never even finished unpacking at the beginning of this year, like school year. This is a drastic change from the ultra-organized freshman that moved into Dykstra 4 years ago. Last semester, I was always saying no to my friends or yes to other commitments that I had no time for, and yet something was different. Normally, I would have panicked at the thought of being the least bit not on top of things. And yes, there were moments of panic, and it certainly was a stressful couple of semesters. But I had a different mindset. When something didn't get done, I just let it go. It didn't torment me. I was starting to understand that when I failed my professors or my friends or myself, it didn't change my identity. It didn't redefine me as a failure. Yes, there were things I needed to learn, very important things, like how to say no. Dear freshman, please do not wait until your senior year to figure this one out. No is a great word. It's not that hard to say. It's a very short word. Just learn this word. And it took me a long time to realize that sometimes this means saying no to something good. God has blessed, surrounded me with so many blessings and opportunities, but that does not mean that my time has multiplied and is now infinite. Saying yes to God is my first priority, and spending time with him means saying no to something, and sometimes that is a good something. I'm also learning that sometimes life is just busy and messy and chaotic, no matter what we do, and that's okay. We are still children of the King, and our identity doesn't change when we're behind schedule or overwhelmed. So I'm learning that, yes, I am a perfectionist. No, it's not about excellence or trying my best. It's about identity. For so long, my identity has come from my achievement and how other people praise me for that achievement. But how can I profess to believe in a God of complete grace and live out a gospel that by definition has nothing to do with my achievement and yet hold myself and others accountable based on what I do and how well I do it? I cannot have it both ways. I cannot believe in my own ability to attain perfection and God's assurance that only he has the power to draw us to himself. It's right there in the Bible. In Hebrews 7:11, it says, "If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Aaron? The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God." When I read this the first time, I skimmed right over it until I realized the power of what it's saying. If perfection could have been attained under the law, then what is Jesus doing here? What is he doing here? If we had things under control, why did he need to come? Well, clearly, we didn't have things under control. The former law has been set aside because it didn't work. We cannot make ourselves perfect. The only way to draw near to God is by the better hope that was introduced, Jesus. Because of Jesus, our identity now has nothing to do with our mistakes or our triumphs. It has nothing to do with who thinks we're good at what. It has nothing to do with our families or our friends or our relationships or lack thereof or our sins or our body image or the things we struggle with. When God looks at us, he sees his children. That is his identity. That is our identity. So I don't have to keep striving for something I cannot attain. I don't have to panic when I fail. I don't have to rely on my own efforts or achievement. I don't have to create an identity for myself based on my achievements or goals. I get to live every single day knowing that the God of the universe gave his life so that I can be his daughter. I get to rely on his love and his faithfulness. And I wonder what my life would look like if I lived that out. I want to close with a prayer that I wrote a few years ago. I wrote it one night after the Holy Spirit just wrecked me. And it's something that I've returned to many times. Pray with me. Jesus, I promise to run after you my whole life, to never let my love grow cold. I promise to seek your face no matter where I am. I promise to spend my life worshiping you with all of me. Jesus, I am going to break these promises. And you are still going to love me with all of your heart and use me for your kingdom work. You are still going to whisper your heart to my heart and pour your glory into me. No matter what I do, you are going to pursue my heart. Thank you for this love, Jesus. A love I don't deserve, but have to believe and let rule me. I love you, Jesus. With my tiny, dirty, incomplete human love. And yet, you love my love. You want my love. Jesus, why are you so good? What kind of God are you? Father, continue to pour your truth into us and change us from the inside out. Help us to grasp the enormity of your love. Let it sink deep into our souls until we find our identity completely in you and cannot help but live radically for you. In your name we pray. Amen.